All right, if you have your Bibles, and I hope that you do, go with me tonight to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. We've been working our way verse by verse through the book of Galatians for many weeks now. I think we'll probably have two more messages in this book before we move on to something else. It certainly has been a fruitful study for me, and I hope it has been for you. Now, as the letter to the Galatians closes, Paul gets intensely practical. He opened Galatians with four chapters that developed and defended the doctrine of the gospel of grace. He closes the letter by showing us the impact that the gospel ought to have on our day-to-day lives. People that believe the gospel ought to become like the gospel. People that enjoy grace ought to extend grace. So it's on these practical matters Paul is centering around when we come to Galatians chapter 6. The subject of the chapter is the spiritual man. What does it mean to be spiritual? What does it mean to be spirit-led? We told you a few weeks ago it has less to do with four-hour devotionals and an emotional response in a worship service and much more to do with how we treat one another. We studied verse 1 a few weeks ago and did an in-depth study on the ministry of restoration. The title today is, What to Do with a Burden. What to Do with a Burden. Look at Galatians chapter 6. We'll read verses 1 through 5. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. I want you to notice that phrase in verse 2 where it says, bear ye one another's burdens. If there's one thing I know about everyone in this room, it's that everybody here has a burden. You know, the Bible has a lot to say about the things in life that can burden us from time to time. In Exodus chapter 18, the leadership of the children of Israel had become a burden to Moses. His father-in-law, Jethro, suggested that he could delegate his leadership so that others could share in the burden. Anyone who's ever attempted to lead other people knows that leadership can be a burden at times. When you try to lead people, people have problems. And the more people you have, the more problems you have. And sometimes the burden in your life is not so much the problem in your life or the problem in your family's life. Sometimes the burden in your life is the problems of the people that you lead, and it can be heavy at times. Another thing that can bring burdens is ministry. In Numbers chapter 4, we read about the burden of the sons of Kohath. They were a family within the tribe of Levi. They were given the task to carry the holy things of the tabernacle. Now, the other families would help in carrying the tabernacle, but because the sons of Kohath carried the heaviest, or the most holy things, they were not allowed to use carts like the other families. They had to carry them on their back. Ministry can bring burdens. We do it for the Lord, and we do it because we love the Lord, but don't ever let anyone fool you. Serving God is hard work, and it's supposed to be hard work. Nothing great was ever done for God on spare time and pocket change. And when we go into ministry, we ought to determine whatever our hand finds to do, we're going to do it with our might. When you serve the Lord, there will be seasons in that service. There will be plowing seasons. There will be sowing seasons. Those are seasons when you're putting in a lot of time, a lot of effort, a lot of energy, and you're not necessarily seeing the harvest at those moments. That can be a burden. Have you ever worked a class or a bus route or tried to attempt anything for the Lord and you were working and working and working and there wasn't any fruit? We've all been there, and that's a heavy burden. But what does the Bible say? Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season ye shall reap if you faint not. So ministry does bring some burdens. Habakkuk was burdened in Habakkuk chapter 1, if you remember. He was burdened because of national events. The children of Israel had turned their backs on God. And as God's man, he was burdened that God would revive his people. Are you ever watching news at night and you just get so burdened by what you see happening in our country? Burdened by how many people seem to be turning their backs on God? I'm convinced tonight that far more of us need to be burdened about it. And far more of us need to be burdened that God would send revival. Sometimes national events and a nation turning away from God can bring a burden to our hearts. Ecclesiastes 12 talks about the burden of growing older. I love that description in Ecclesiastes 12. The preacher writes and he talks about your hands that begin to tremble and your legs and arms that weaken as you walk in a bent over state. He says the grinders cease. That means your teeth fall out. The windows are darkened. That means you can't see anymore. The daughters of music are brought low. It means you can't hear anything. And some of you need to turn up that hearing aid tonight, perhaps. As we would say in West Texas, and Brother Rigsby says often, getting old ain't for sissies. Many of life's greatest burdens are reserved for the fourth quarter of our life. Getting older comes with some burdens. So my guess is that tonight all of you brought a burden to church with you, a physical burden, maybe a sickness or disease or a handicap. For others, it's a family burden. You've got a prodigal or your parents or you've got relational strife. For others, it's a work burden. Deadlines are pressing down on you. Numbers are down. The morale of the employees is low. Job said, man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. There are burdens everywhere in life. You brought a burden to church with you tonight, if not more than one. Everyone has them. So the question is, what are we going to do with them? What does God want us to do with them? This passage teaches us about three things we ought to do with our burdens. And I want you to notice, first of all, from verses 2-4, some burdens are meant to be shared. Some burdens are meant to be shared. When it says in verse 2, bear ye one another's burdens, the word burden there refers to a heavy load. The word was first used to describe a physical weight that a slave would carry on his back. It came to be used in a more figurative sense to describe emotional suffering, affliction of the soul, dejection, depression, or mental misery. So this isn't a hangnail. This is a problem at the deepest levels of your life. It's not a first world problem like your Wi-Fi being cut or Whataburger running out of spicy ketchup. This is a deep distress. It's a crushing burden. So what do you do with a crushing burden? Well, the Bible says you should share it. Notice three things quickly under this point. A word of command. Then he's going to give us not only a word of command, he's going to give us a word of caution, then a word of completion. First of all, the command is, bear ye one another's burdens. Now, there's an explicit meaning to this command. Remember, the context here is in verse 1 where it says, brethren, if a man be overtaken. The context of the passage is within the family of God. We are to be on the lookout, to have our eyes open for brothers and sisters who are under a crushing load. And we are to do our part to help lighten that load and come up under that load and carry it with them. We're to be looking for that. We're to bear burdens. Now he says there in verse 2, bear ye one another's burdens. One of the great studies in the New Testament is to look at all of the one another's. You would be amazed at the things the Bible tells us we're supposed to do for one another. Romans 12:10, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love in honor preferring one another. Colossians 3:13, forbearing one another. You know what that word forbearing means? It means putting up with. put up with one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. We're to be kindly affectioned one to another. We're to prefer one another, to put up with one another, to forgive one another as Christ forgave us. Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, encouraging one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. I say it often, but it's because I don't want you to forget it. We are not strangers spectating a religious program. We are brothers and sisters in a faith family. Here's one of the great problems with church in our day. Here's the problem with just internet church or just TV church. We have a great live streaming ministry, and I thank God for it, but it cannot replace a local church. You simply cannot fulfill the one another commands of the New Testament unless you are actually present in time and space to worship with God's people. You can't be kindly affectioned to a computer screen. Your computer screen won't be there to weep with you and pray for you when you lose a loved one. That's what a faith family is for. And one of the greatest things we do when we meet together as God's people is we enter into the ministry of burden bearing. Burden bearers are needed. So be on the lookout for people in our faith family who are under crushing loads. And you can come along beside them and help make it a little lighter. There are a few kinds of burden brothers and sisters you can look out for tonight. Look out for bereaved brothers and sisters. Those who have recently lost a loved one are carrying a heavy load of grief. And you'll never know what a card in the mail or what a dinner in your home might mean to someone like that. Many of the ladies in our church have the habit of fixing meals for those who have lost loved ones. What a wonderful ministry that is. I can't imagine losing a parent. Many of you have lost your parents. I can't imagine losing my wife or losing a child. I can't think of any grief greater in life than that. And I know that if those things ever happen to me, and if the Lord does not return and I don't go first, some of them will happen to me one day. I'm going to need my faith family in those moments. I'm going to need people to make that load lighter. And you may not can sing, you may not can preach, but I guarantee you, you can be a burden bearer to someone who's bereaved tonight. Be on the lookout for backslidden brothers and sisters. This is the particular context in Galatians. He's talking about restoring those who have been overtaken in a fault. There is no burden so heavy as the burden of being backslidden. Psalm 38:4, David describes his sinful year. And he says, "Mine iniquities are gone over my head as a heavy burden. They are too heavy for me." Backslidden people need brothers and sisters to come alongside them and to try to put them back in their proper place. Backslidden people can be hard to love, can't they? Man, they can. But there's no other time in your life when you will need the agape love of God and God's people more than when you're in a backslidden condition. Look out for someone that's bereaved. Look out for someone that's backslidden. Look out for baby brothers and sisters. And I mean by that new Christians. Aren't you glad that we have people baptized almost every week here at Worth Baptist Church? I'm glad about that. That means people are being saved. That means we're always in need of mature Christians who will reach out to encourage new believers. Do you remember when you were first saved and some of the burdens you bore? Remember some of the lifestyles and habits that were in your life? Some of the wrong thinking and wrong philosophies that needed to be corrected? Some of the misplaced priorities that needed to be readjusted. In almost all of our lives, it wasn't a sermon. It was a brother or sister in Christ putting their arm around us and saying, "Hey, did you ever think skipping church for a ball game just wasn't a good idea? Or didn't you know what reading your Bible and praying every day will do for your Christian life and for the life of your family?" It's wonderful to hear the preaching of God's word, but we all know that it was another believer who really got us to where we needed to be. So look out for burdened new believers and come alongside them and carry their load. Charles Dickens, the great writer, said, No person is useless in this world who helps lighten the burden of someone else. And that's something each of us can do. So there's an explicit command here, bear burdens. There is also, though, an implicit command. And what is it? Well, explicitly, I'm to bear the burden of other believers. Implicitly, that means I am to share my burdens with other believers. Not only am I to be a burden bearer, but I'm to be a burden sharer. Now, I've found that most Christians have an easy time at one of these two. Most Christians don't do both of them well. Some people are more than willing to share their burden with you. They're not real happy about bearing your burden. It's all about them. There are other believers who think they're some kind of spiritual Superman, on the other hand, that want to help everyone else with their problems, but never want to talk about the problems going on in their life. No. Implicit in this command is if we're to bear one another's burdens, that means that when I am under a crushing load, I have to share my burden so someone else can come alongside me. In Exodus 18, Moses shared the burden of leadership with other judges. In 2 Corinthians 7, Paul writes about a season in Macedonia when he was burdened. He said, "For when we were coming to Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Without were fightings, within were fears. Nevertheless, God, that comforted those that are cast down, comforted us by the coming of Titus." He said, we were in a real hard place, fightings without, fears within. God wanted to comfort us, and how did he do it? He sent Titus to help us. Now listen, if Moses and Paul needed to share their burdens, then how much more do you and I? So explicitly be a burden bearer, implicitly be a burden sharer. He gives us next a word of caution. And by the way, don't be worried. My first point is far longer than my other points tonight, okay? Here's the word of caution. Look at verse 3. "For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself." The danger that Paul cautions us about here is the danger of pride. He says, don't be too proud to bear a burden, to get down into the spiritual sewer, if you will, and help a backslidden brother up. Don't be too proud to share a burden. He says, if you think you're too good to share a burden, you're nothing. If you think you're too strong to share your burden, you're nothing. I think many Christians are staggering under a heavy load because they're just too proud to ask someone else to help them to bear it. This always reminds me of the boxer Muhammad Ali. He was on board a plane and the flight attendant said to him, "Sir, could you please fasten your seatbelt?" He shot back, "Superman don't need no seatbelt." She responded just as quickly, "Superman don't need no airplane. Put on your seatbelt." There are no spiritual supermen. None of us are too good to share a burden. None of us are too good to bear a burden. If we think we are, he says we're nothing. That's a word of caution. Notice a word of completion. He says at the end of verse 2, "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." Now, what's the law of Christ? We know the law of God. What's the law of Christ? We'll look back at Galatians chapter 5, verse 14. He says, "For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." Remember what Jesus said in John 13? "A new commandment give I unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you." The law of Christ is to love our neighbor as ourself. The law of Christ is to love one another as we've been loved. Now, we've talked a whole lot about the law in the book of Galatians, haven't we? It's been all over this book. Paul reminds us time and time again, we can't keep the law. Here's the amazing truth as he comes back around to the law of Christ. Paul has been teaching in this book that we've been freed from the law. But he teaches us in Galatians chapter 6, verse 2, that we've been freed from the law for the law. In other words, the law is still a concern. We realize we can't keep the law. We realize through the gospel, Christ has kept it for us. So we go to him in simple faith and salvation. He saves us and indwells us with the Holy Spirit. We begin walking in the Spirit as we're led by the Holy Spirit, taking spiritual steps every day. And as the Spirit of God leads our lives and we follow His leadership, He brings us into obedience with the law of God. Isn't that amazing? We start out loving our neighbor so much that we don't want to steal from him. That's one of the commands, thou shalt not steal. The Holy Spirit's leading us to love our neighbor. We love our neighbor so much we don't want to bear false witness against him. We don't want to covet him stuff. We want him to have his stuff. But the Spirit takes us further than the law. Because not only do we not want to harm him by stealing from him, lying to him, coveting his stuff, we want to help him. We want to bear his burdens. If you'll live the Spirit-filled, Spirit-led life, you'll love your neighbor and you'll fulfill the law, not because you have to, but because you want to. And that's the miracle of the Christian life. I want to say one more thing about burden-bearing tonight. Look over at 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Some burdens are meant to be shared. Look at what Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. He says, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. What incredible titles for our God in that verse. The Father of mercies, the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation, that same word is comfort, so our comfort also aboundeth by Christ. Why does God allow burdens in our lives in the first place? Why doesn't He just let us sail along on still water under blue skies? The Bible says here that He's the God of all comfort and that He either gives us tribulation or allows tribulation to come into our lives so that we might experience the comfort of God. Through those times, He reveals Himself to us in ways He could have never revealed Himself in easy times. It's very simple. We do not need a comforter if we're always comfortable. And many Christians have forgotten that lesson. I want you to raise your hand tonight. How many of you have ever gone through a time of deep distress and tribulation in your life? How many of you have been under a crushing load? All right. How many of you in those times have ever experienced the comfort of God in a way you could have never known it any other way? Amen. Every person here. So watch the progression. God allows tribulation so He can give you comfort. And He gives you comfort, not just so that you might be comforted, but so that you might take the comfort He gave you and give it to somebody else who finds himself or herself under a crushing load. Amen. It's a beautiful part of what we do for each other as members of a faith family. Imagine that you just lost your spouse. And there were days so dark when the grief was so real, you wondered if you'd get through it. You wondered if the sun would ever come up again. You wondered if you'd ever smile again. But in those days of grief, God made Himself real to you. Passages in the Bible that you had always passed over before became more real to you. Promises that you had never claimed before you began to claim. God made Himself real to you. Eventually, the sun did come up. And eventually, the smile returned. And eventually, the grief broke. You walked into church on Sunday. And then you saw a woman who had just lost her husband. And you could see, in a way no one else in this entire church could see, the crushing burden she was under, the grief she was wearing on her face. So you walked up beside her and you hugged her neck. You shared a promise that meant so much to you. You told her, the sun will come up again. You'll smile again. I know you don't think so now, but one day you'll get through this. God is with you. He's going to get you through it. And you didn't think about those few words that you shared too much, just a few words in between Sunday school and church. But what you won't know until you get to heaven is that it was those words of comfort that got that believer through their moment of grief. You were the comfort that God sent to get them through their tribulation. What I'm trying to say to you is you can't be a burden bearer if you've never borne a burden. And God gives you burdens in your life so you might learn to bear the burdens of other people. Oh, if you're under the heavy load tonight, some burdens are meant to be shared. Why don't you decide to be a burden bearer and a burden sharer? Now, real quick, and I told you these last two points will be quick. You have my word. Look back at Galatians chapter 6. Look at what he says in verse 5. He says, for every man shall bear his own burden. Man, the contradiction sirens are going off in your mind, aren't they? We just read, bear one another's burdens and fulfill the law of Christ. Now we read in verse 5, you're supposed to bear your own burden. Here's the second point. Some burdens are meant to be shouldered. Shouldered. In other words, carried individually. There's no contradiction here. It seems that way. But the word for burden in verse 2 and the word for burden in verse 5 are different in the original. The word in verse 2 refers to a heavy load, a crushing load. The word in verse 5 describes a lighter load. It literally describes a man's backpack or pack. The burden of verse 2 is like a man under a boulder. He needs help. The word in verse 5 is like a man carrying something as light as a backpack. And Paul says that man needs to learn how to carry his own backpack. Some things in life are so heavy we can't bear them alone. We need help. But many things in life aren't so heavy. And we need to learn how to carry them on our own and take them to the Lord on our own so that we don't become a burden to other believers who could be helping someone with a real problem. Listen, not everything that comes into our lives is a crisis. We don't always need to call 911. We don't always need to have a counseling session after every service. Sometimes we need to learn how to carry our own light load, our backpack. Imagine there's a college kid who lives at home. He has trouble getting to work on time because he stays up every night playing video games all night long. He tells you, I'm going to lose my job if someone doesn't help me. Would you call me every morning at 5:30 and get me out of bed? You know what I would say to that college kid? I don't work at a hotel and I'm not an alarm clock. You need to learn how to get yourself up out of bed in the morning. That's not a burden. That's a backpack. And I'll probably be hurting him if I call him every morning instead of leaving him to learn responsibility on his own. On the other hand, imagine a single mother with a couple of kids and the air conditioner goes out in her home at the beginning of the summer. She doesn't make a lot of money at her job, though she works hard. She won't be able to fix it all summer long. Is that a backpack or a boulder? That's a boulder. She needs someone to come alongside her and help her carry that burden if they can. A man loses his wife suddenly in a car accident, leaving him with three children to raise on his own. That's a boulder problem, isn't it? That man needs grief counseling. He needs help with meals. He'll need help getting his kids to soccer practice and the school events and master clubs. And we need to come alongside a man like that and bear his burdens. That's a boulder. An able-bodied man has no job, no car. He's always asking you for rides. He needs to get to the grocery store and to the barber shop and to the post office and to the bank. That is a backpack problem. That man needs a bus ticket or a ride to a job interview. Helping that man will only hurt him. He needs to learn how to bear his own burden. So some loads, when they're crushing and you really can't carry them, need to be shared. Some light loads just need to be shouldered. You go to God in faith and you and God work it out. Here's the last one. All burdens are meant to be shed. All burdens are meant to be shed. Turn to Psalm 55. Psalm 55. Some loads need to be shared. Some loads need to be shouldered. All loads, big or small, need to be shed. Look at Psalm 55, verse 22. David writes when he's heartbroken over Ahithophel turning on him. He says, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Aren't you glad tonight that you can cast your burden on the Lord and he'll sustain you? 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting your cares upon him, for he careth for you. George Mueller, who ran orphanages in England that fed thousands of children every day on faith alone, had 1 Peter 5:7 in German on his desk. And the translation in German of that last phrase, he careth for you, is this: it matters to him concerning you. Isn't that wonderful? You matter to God. Your boulder problems matter to God. Your backpack problems matter to God. Big things, small things, you can cast all of those things on the Lord, the Bible says, and he'll sustain you. Can I just remind you tonight that all of our problems, big or small, are small problems to an omnipotent God. We can cast them on the Lord. When we take our burdens to the Lord, he'll do one of two things with them. Number one, he can remove them. Have you ever experienced a time in your life when you got down on your knees and you were so burdened by something, and you went to God in prayer and spent some time with him, and by the time you said amen, it's like he had lifted that burden off your shoulders? I've had many of those times in my life. And on many occasions, I go to God with a burden, and he lifts it, and I never bear it again. And I praise God for that. I love that old song that says, burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Sometimes we'll cast our burdens on the Lord and he'll remove it. But sometimes we'll cast our burdens on the Lord and he will not remove it. Sometimes, like Psalm 55 says, we'll cast our burdens on the Lord and he'll sustain us. That word sustain literally means to nourish, to feed, to strengthen. Sometimes God takes the burden off your back when you cast it on him. Sometimes God gives you the strength you'll need to carry that burden for another day. There's another great gospel song I love. It says, take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. My problem is I like to take it to the Lord and take it back. That won't help anything. We need to learn how to take our burden to the Lord and leave it there, shed it, give it to him. I read about a Chinese woman who lost her son. She was inconsolable in her grief. Finally, she went to a wise man in her village and he said to her, go and bring me a mustard seed from a home where there has been no sorrow. She was gone for several days and then came back to the wise man and she said, how foolish I have been in my grief. There is no home where there has been no sorrow. And my guess is tonight that there is no Christian in this room that is not carrying a burden. We all carry burdens. The question is, what are we going to do with them? Let's pray together, may we? Father, life gets hard. The load gets heavy. Sometimes we feel that the tribulation you put us through is greater than we can bear. I know tonight there are some people here under burden. I pray tonight that you would give us the love and compassion as a faith family to recognize when one of us is under a burden so we can help bear it. I pray tonight that you would help us all, whatever our burden might be, to cast it on you, to bring it to you, and to by faith trust you that you will either remove it or you'll give us the strength we need to sustain it for another day. Thank you for allowing us to cast our cares upon you. Thank you for caring for your people. It's in Jesus' name.